my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views that are expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Episode 446 to be broadcast on Wednesday, July 25th. Cross fingers here because I'm kind of on an edge of pain here. On WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She'll be home from work shortly, but she's off to work all day today. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you got me right here. Look what I'm wearing. Nice jewelry, huh? Isn't that great? Yeah. This is it. I'll explain a lot more about what you see wrapped around my neck here in just a minute. No, I did not have an accident. It's okay. Yes, I did choose to do this. And for those of you who are listening to me on audiophile, I will explain to you that I am wearing a cervical neck brace that is rather dramatic. But that's okay. We'll get to that in just a minute. And I've got some fun things to talk about here on this week's episode of Bicycle Talk. Bicycle Talk's a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can just contribute right down here below on Facebook Live if you're listening live, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's rant of the week. Yeah, okay. You know, what do they tell you? They say you can choose a lot of things in life, but you can't choose your parents. So here we are. This is my rant of the week. Sorry I've been away. I know this is the first broadcast I have done in, I believe, the 3 weeks since my surgery. So, and I'll explain more of that in a bit, but anyway, it's what we call another bump in the road. The bump in the road was 4 years ago. The first bump in the road was 4 years ago when I coined that phrase from one of my night nurses at the University of Connecticut Medical Center. By the way, yay, University of Connecticut Medical Center. It's the most unbelievable place ever. Sorry, this is not supposed to be an endorsement of any kind, but I am broadcasting on the UConn Radio Network, so therefore I should throw a little shout out to UConn for this. They're just fabulous. Anyway, so 4 years ago, I got the little wake-up call of I couldn't breathe real good when I was riding my bike up a hill, and I went, gee, that doesn't seem right, and I went up to UConn, and I went to their urgent care, and they said, you're fine, except do you have any history in your family? And I explained about my father, and I explained about my uncle on my mom's side, and they said, we're going to work on you a little bit more here and see what's going on. So what that turned into is a quadruple bypass. Yes, the guy who rides his bike all the time, everywhere, as much as possible. I had 4 completely clogged arteries. Not completely, only 2 of them were only 80%, but the other 2 were 98%. And I was determined at that time as and labeled as the walking dead guy in room XYZ. I can't remember what room I was in. Doesn't really matter. But anyway, somehow, some way, guess what saved my life? My bicycle saved my life. It always does, every single time. So lately, I've been fighting with this problem of not having a lot of power while riding my bike. And that it got really bad almost 2 years ago. And it was back in the spring of, well, let's see here, we're 23, and I was working with the folks from the Natchog Epic, Richard Fries and friends, and I couldn't get out of my own way on my bike, and I had to pull out, and I've never had to do that, and it just, my legs just got continually worse since. So I've had little to no power whatsoever, and the reason I'm telling you about all this is because, remember, the more you ride your bike, the more physically active you are, the more you can hear the things your body is telling you. So I'm a huge believer in physical fitness. You guys all must know that by now. But I also believe in understanding what it is that is going on to try to figure out what's going wrong. So, of course, the first thing we looked at right away was my cardiovascular system, because it was a very big concern. I'd had a quadruple bypass. They tested me from head to toe. And when I say head to toe, I mean head to toe. Basically what happened was they ended up putting a really interesting arrangement of blood pressure cuffs from my feet all the way up to my hips. And they checked the blood pressure in my legs to see if it was consistent with what the blood pressure was in the rest of my body. So if that box checks out correctly, which it did, then the next thing you do is you run a what they call a test with load. I'm not going to explain that one to you other than the fact that that was hard. But anyway, they increase the pressure by a lot, and you get to feel them like creeping all the way up and down your body. And when I got done, it was determined by my cardiologist that there was absolutely nothing wrong with me, and that my cardiovascular system, my arteries were good, my heart was great, there were no blockages anywhere. This is good news, right? So how come I can't get out of my own way at climbing the stairs in my house or riding my bicycle? Well, that's what we went deeper into, the deeper dive to. Next stop, I live in Connecticut. Connecticut is, of course, a place where we have the infamous Lyme ticks. And so Lyme disease is never out of the options. So I ended up having multiple tests done, and eventually a very expensive test done to determine that I have chronic Lyme. So I have Lyme in my body, four markers at least. And so we thought, that must be it. That's what's going on. Lyme does weird things to you. It takes control of your body. It could be a really, really, really big problem. But anyway, so we went through the whole Lyme thing, and I went on Lyme protocol, and I thought, well, this will get better. This will get better. No, it didn't get better. So I've been putting up with this now for, it's coming in close to 2 years now. I'm going to call it a year and three quarters at this point, where I've just had no power whatsoever in my legs. I get on the spin bike and I cannot maintain myself in zone four as far as my cardiovascular system goes, because my legs and the extreme fatigue and all the muscles in my body will not allow me to go there for very long. I did do a workout shortly before my surgery, because I wanted to see just how hard can I push it before I completely blow up on the bike. And I did it, and it was hard, but I knew it was my last hard ride, because I have not ridden my bike for 3 weeks. Yeah. And you know what that's like in the middle of the summer when it's really nice outside and everybody else is out riding their bikes. Don't bring that up to me right now. I don't want to talk about that. But anyway, so we do all that test, and my cardiologist says to me, he said, I think what we need to do is you need to go back and talk to your PCP, your primary care provider, and talk to him about possible neurological issues, which my sister had also brought up. And she said, you know, maybe you should see a neurologist. Hence, I go to see a neurologist. So I go to see the neurologist. I explain the whole Lyme disease to my PCP, and he's like, wow, you really have it bad. And I said, yeah, apparently, but, you know, didn't know that that wasn't really what we were after yet. And so I went to the neurologist, and when I went there, he was, it took a long time to put all these electrodes and different things on my leg, and basically up and down my side, all the way up and down one side, basically is what it was. And then it did a series of tests, which require you to get mildly electrocuted It's not as bad as it sounds. Believe me, after what I went through after this surgery, that was the easy part. So they give you zaps, lots of zaps. And in the process of zapping you, it is then determined that, you know, there might be something wrong or there might not be something wrong. Good to see you too, Pete. I'm here. Look at this. This nice, beautiful, lovely necklace I'm wearing today. Anyway, for anybody who's watching and they're looking and they're going, what the heck happened to Ron? No, I was not in a terrible accident. I had a complete, we'll get to that. Let's go beyond the neurologist. Go to the neurologist. Neurologist goes, you have a huge problem. This included them taking a long needle and putting it into my muscle to check the muscle to see if there was anything wrong with my muscles. And when he got done with me, he said, I'm ordering an MRI for you right away. He called me back, their office called me back in 2 hours and said, you are scheduled for this date, get there. We need an MRI right away. So I got an MRI, and the imaging that you get from the MRI pretty much tells you what's going on inside of your spinal column, which is what they were looking at. And what was determined was that I had a severe spinal stenosis in my neck. What does that mean? It's doctor speak, right? Doesn't mean anything. That's what it is. So I have this severe spinal stenosis in my neck, in which case they show me the MRI, and I got a couple of opinions on this. And the MRI pretty much came back the same, you know, as both explanations were pretty close to being the same. There was no more spinal fluid left inside of my neck to protect the nerve that basically is the central nerve that goes all the way down through your body. So that means that I am going to have to have something done about it. And I am at a level of severity where they said, if you don't do this, you're not going to be thinking about riding your bike or doing anything else in the near future. So that's kind of a threatening call out, but that's what it was. And so, like I said, I made a couple of different appointments with a couple of different neurosurgeons. They looked at it. They showed me what they could do. I chose the option of having my my neck basically fused. And what that means is, and if you're a little queasy on this, you may not want to listen to this episode because it gets a little queasy-ish. Kind of weird. But, you know, I have now accepted it as yet another walk down the road in Ron's unbelievable life with my body and my bicycle. So, and did I mention to you that you can't choose your parents? My mom was horribly arthritic. My dad had the heart disease. You know, I got both of them. I got them both. So, and that's the way it works. That's the way it works. So anyway, yeah, it's a genetic issue. But the good news is that they can fix it. And just like bringing your bike into the bike shop and having them put it up on the stand and go, oh my goodness, has your bike always been shifting this lousy? And you go, well, what's lousy? It doesn't seem that bad. And then a good mechanic looks at the bike and they get done and all of a sudden your bike feels like it's brand new again. Yeah, that's kind of what we're aiming for. My brand new is going to take a little more time than the bike shop brand new, but we'll get there. And that's the good news. We are going to get there and it's coming up soon. So I will keep everyone informed as to what is going on. You will probably see me wearing this silly necklace here for a few more weeks. They told me they would like it on me. My surgeon said he'd like it on me for 6 weeks total, which is a long time. Usually they're only on for 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks max, but he's feeling like he really wants to support my neck well, and I think the other half of the reason for doing it is, and if any of you out there are anxious to get back to doing what you do normally in life, like I am, I think it's also to keep me restricted to a point. So, you know what? He's the expert. The coolest thing about my doctor, the coolest thing of all, is when I sat down with him to talk to him about the surgical procedure and what was next and getting me scheduled and all, I said, look, you know, you're in an entirely different world than I am. But I said, I like to see everything from a mechanical standpoint. And I really like to, I want to know what you're going to do. And he said, well, some people don't really want to know. And I said, no, I want to know. Tell me exactly what the mechanics are of this operation. And he said, thank you so much for asking. He said, people usually don't ask. They're just too afraid of it. And I said, no, I want to know what's going on. So he filled me in and told me exactly what they were going to do. They did end up removing three of my cervical vertebrae. And that is why I have titanium rods in my neck on both sides. Removed a ton of arthritis, which had been pressing against the nerve. And now, if you take a look at the new MRIs and the x-rays, it's all clear and it looks like a normal neck again, except that I have a small bridge project in my neck now versus just having bone in there. So the total is, there it is. I've been, and you know, I'll add into this too, because, you know, for many, many years, I've always wanted to, that the only bike I've never really owned for any length of time. I've gotten a chance to ride one a few times, you know, maybe had one for a week that was a demo bike that I could ride around on. And I've never really owned a titanium bicycle. And, I don't have the titanium bicycle, but I have a brand new, brand spanking new titanium neck. There are a total of 16 screws and two titanium rods that are basically holding my neck together and holding this whole operation together. Here's where the queasy stuff comes. In order for them to get to that place in your body so that they can do that work, they have to disconnect, I'll say that's a nice way of putting it, the muscles that are wrapped around your cervical spine. So that's the hard part. I will say that is definitely the hard part. So what has happened there is that's been the hardest part of the recovery. I've done a lot of things in my life that have inflicted a lot of pain on my body, but never anything quite this severe. This was like beyond a description that I can give you, but even to the point where poor Franny had to call ambulance a couple of days after I got out of the hospital because I was in such horrible pain. And so I got to spend the night at the emergency room where they gave me lots of drugs and other things to calm everything down. But now things are on the repair. This is to the day, week three. So it was 3 weeks ago I had the surgery done. The first week I was very incapacitated. The second week, not much better, but some mobility occurred. Yesterday I walked for a mile and a half with my sister, which was really enjoyable and wonderful. So I am getting out and I am starting physical therapy outside physical therapy outside of my house. I am starting that on Friday morning. So that will hopefully clear me to back to the point where I can get back to doing what I do and start teaching my classes again without participating in them, but I can still teach them. And I'll be back. And then my surgeon, who is mostly straightforward with me about his explanations of things, I'll just leave it at mostly on that because there were some surprises. He said, I should be back on my bike within 6 weeks of the surgery. Well, 3 weeks down to the day. Do I see myself back on my bike in 3 more weeks? Probably not. I'm taking a wild stabbing guess at that. But it could happen. You never know. Anything can happen. So anyway, this is my life right now. My life in the collar. Sleeping is challenging. Sitting in a comfortable place for a long period of time is challenging. This is my first attempt at sitting at a desk in front of a computer since I had the surgery. And it's, so I'm hoping to get through this. If I don't, I will just interrupt the video and then I'll resume it later on. And I can resume my audio then too, because I do need to get a show in place because they missed me up at the radio station too. So anyway, Here we are. Hey, Don, nice to see you too. I'm up and around. Yeah, I can sit in a chair. Yay me. I can go for walks. I just can't go for bike rides. That's all. It's great because I'm seeing people that are watching the show right now, and they're either looking at me like they're freaked out, who is this guy, or they're friends of mine that I ride with. And so thank you very much. And thank you so, so much to the incredible outpouring of cards and people dropping off food. My farm to family's program in Mansfield just called me a little while ago, and they're going to be dropping something off on my doorstep here. Just to make sure that I'm well fed. People are making food for me. It's been very nice. It's been incredibly nice. Fran has been, I don't know if where she can't be a saint because she's Jewish. I don't think that's allowed in Judaism, but she has been extremely tolerant because I have not been very nice. When I'm in pain, I'm not very pleasant, and I will be apologizing to her for the rest of my life, I do believe, because this was a big one. Other side of this, on the good side, since Fran and I love to do things together as a couple, we have deemed ourselves as the stenosis twins, because Fran has some major stenosis issues going on in her back, and she is also talking with the same healthcare professionals that I am speaking with, and they gave her eventually, thank you insurance for being so delayed in doing this, but this is the way the world works these days, I guess. They finally got her a cortisone injection, and she's doing much better. She got out and rode her bike 3 days in a row the last 3 days, not today, but the 3 days before that. So Fran is back on her bike again, which makes Fran much, much happier and makes me much, much happier when Fran is riding her bike too, if you know what I mean. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. So anyway, we're the stenosis twins. Yeah, she's got it in her back. I've got it in my neck. I do have some stenosis in my lumbar also. But they said not unusual for a person of my age. Hate that age thing. God, I'm only 39. What's the big deal? Anyway, we're both recovering, which makes it kind of a crummy summer for both of us because we haven't been able to get out and do many like big group bike rides and all. I think Fran will be resuming probably this weekend. We'll see her out and about a little bit more. But you won't see me out and about for a while. I really miss a lot of things, and one of my favorite things to do this time of year was to hop on my bicycle and ride up to the community center and teach my spin class and then ride home, because I would wake up with the birds and the birds would just be brilliant and it was wonderful. But I haven't had a chance to experience that yet this year because of restrictions on my body. Good news is, problem is, I'm gonna say problem solved. I mean, I know it's just kind of jumping the gun here a little bit and all, but I had such bad carpal tunnel syndrome going on in my wrists that it just hurt to hold on to the handlebars of my bike. My toes were always numb. They're still a little numb. That's still happening. But the big event, the big thing that keyed it all off, that really told me that something is seriously wrong, was that not only couldn't I climb any kind of incline whatsoever outside of my door here on my bicycle, but I also could not really climb the stairs in my house without having to stop at the top of the stairs. 14 steps, by the way, if you're wondering how many stairs I have in my house. 24, I think, at the community center. And I struggled with that for months and months and months. And now I can just march up the stairs. I can practically run up the stairs. I just don't want to trip and fall and hurt my neck because I've got this thing going on here. It cured most of the problems that I was having. It's going to get better. I can't wait. My bicycle, once again, is my lovely little savior. It saved my life once again. That's why you'll get that little tag at the end of my show every time. But yeah, that it's, if you can stay really fit and athletic, you can, you know, learn so much about your body that your body will actually talk to you before, hopefully before you have a major incident. Some people aren't as lucky as I am. You know, some people have massive heart attacks and then they're done. Some people would, in my condition of my spine and my neck, would have maybe fallen off their bike, and then that would have been the end of them forever, because that, you know, you would have broken your neck and it would have not come back. So I'm very, very, very fortunate. And but the thing I'm most fortunate about is the number of friends and family and lovely people I have in my life that have helped me get through all of this. So that is where I have been. That's why you got a couple of episodes of some of the old episodes from maybe last year or so. I know Jason has been on top of it up at WHUS, and he's been, you know, putting shows on for me, but I really wanted to give him a show today. So here I am. Here we go. We're going to give this a try. So another bump in the road. Yeah, another bump in the road. But you know what? Bumps in the road can be smoothed out. And when they are, then you're back and running again. And I plan on doing this for a while. I did have one of the surgeons make a comment to me that was rather disturbing. And he told me, you know, he said, if we do this surgery, and his form of doing the surgery was a little different than the surgery I ended up choosing, which is why it's always good to get a second opinion. He said, you know, a guy like you, and as fit as you are and what you've been through, he said, you could get another 20 years. And I looked at him and I said, 20 years? 20? Only 20? And he looked at me and he said, Ron, in 20 years, you do realize you will be 90 years old. And I said, yeah, so what's your point? It's all about attitude, folks. All about attitude. So when he looked at me funny when I said that. I said, look, I ride with a guy who, by the way, shout out to Saul Nesselroth, who has come by and visited me at my house. Very nice. Very appreciated. Saul is turning 98 this year, and he is still riding his bike. And I think this weekend might be his birthday ride, actually. That's one of those special bicycle rides that we do with Saul every year for his birthday. And what does Saul do? He buys the ice cream. We ride to an ice cream place and he buys the ice cream. Someone will probably have to give me a ride there because I'm not playing with cars yet. I'm not supposed to be playing with cars yet, so I won't be able to do that. But anyway, yeah, 98 years old and he's still riding his bike. So there's a lot of promise out there as far as what you can do if you just stick with it, you know, keep riding your bike. That's all I can tell you. Just please keep riding your bike. It really could save your life. Yeah, that's the byline at the end of the show. I know, but I had to say it now. So anyway, that's it. The bump in the road. We move on. We'll move on to, I don't think I'm going to get into any more crazy explanation there, because normally I would if maybe Fran were here, but she did kind of just poke her head in the door, so I know she's in the house. But anyway, she just got home from work, so I'm not going to bug her. But anyway, we'll get into more explanations and more results that both of us have had from our healing that we're getting in future episodes of Bicycle Talk. If you have any questions whatsoever about this, if you go, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this, I'm having this problem too, or whatever, please share with me. I have a shout out to one of our listeners, Heath, I think it's Heath Moore, right? Heath sends me over a picture of him in one of these from a few years ago. He's a regular listener to the show. He knows exactly what I'm going through. He's very aware of the amount of pain that's involved to get this thing done and fixed and over with, and I really appreciate his support. Also, big shout out to Jim McPherson, who had a bad automobile accident a number of years ago and ended up getting a fusion in his neck to repair that, and then went out and ran a marathon later that year. So, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel here, but it's kind of a dark and lonely tunnel at first. Believe me, this has been a real exciting adventure. And I do not plan on doing this again, by the way. That's enough. That's enough. Got that? So, as I go to my positive side, I know it took a long time to get through Ron's Rant of the Week, didn't it? I'm going to the on the 23rd of June, I recorded a show, my last this year's show for WHUS, and I believe it was like episode 446. And I said, tomorrow, June 24th, I'm going to have my neck fixed so I can ride up hills again. And that's the positive side. So therefore, I am now explaining more. What I am explaining more about is that I'm really feeling good about what's going on right now. I've definitely not had all good days. There's no question about that. But the days are getting better and they're getting to be more tolerable. And I'm back. So you will get weekly episodes of Bicycle Talk from this point on. I will probably, by the talks I've had with my Farm to Fork Fondo folks, I will probably be in Pennsylvania for the Pennsylvania Dutch Ride. So I'm looking forward to being there and talking to people there. I won't be wearing my lovely necklace there, I don't think. And we're working on either possible driving arrangements or me maybe breaking up the drive or whatever. But we'll figure that out. That's down the road, and we don't know how well along I'm going to be. I will not be riding my bike very seriously for a while, but I will be riding my bike with the ultimate joy if I can get back on it again, because I really, really need to ride. You know that feeling when you've been off your bike for a while and, you know, you just really need to get out for a ride because otherwise you're going to tear someone's head off? Well, that's where I'm at. So hopefully I'll be able to get out and do a little bit more there. I'm going to continue walking, doing physical therapy. I'm going to do everything I can to get my body strong again, and off we will go. So that's the positive side. Positive side is every day is a little bit better. Mechanical Minute and Ron's Tips of the Week. Gotta love those socks. Yeah, the UCI is getting weirder. I swear to God, they're getting weirder. They're doing all sorts of strange things, which I do not understand. I've been watching the Tour de France. Oh, there's the other positive part I forgot to tell you about. I meant to talk about that. The good news is that the Tour de France has been on ever since I have been recovering from my surgery. So I get to, you know, shamelessly watch the Tour de France every single day, not feel guilty about not going to work because of it, because I can't work. And I get to watch every episode of the 2025 Tour de France, which has been great. It's definitely a show of sorts, but you never know. You just never know. It's always, you know, I love the Grand Tours because no matter how much predictability you think you can get with a big Grand Tour like that, there's always something that might go a little bit different, like yesterday's stage. If you're listening, it was on Bastille Day. That's why I'm recording today, because I normally record on Mondays, but Bastille Day was on Monday, so they ran an episode of the Tour de France that day. And I wanted to get through that before I went into the rest day, which the rest day is today. Tomorrow, they're back, and they're going to get back into the uglies, into the mountains and the nasty stuff, and we'll see exactly what happens there. I think we are in for not exactly what everyone had intended. The one thing that I'm seeing, and this is kind of an interesting observation on my part, I have passed this along with those that call me daily, and we talk about the Tour de France and everything else that's going on in the world. It does not seem like any team is going to let any other team send anyone off on a breakaway for very long that is of any kind of threat whatsoever, as we have had with past episodes of the Tour de France and the Giro d'Italia and the Vuelta a España. And all of a sudden there's a big surprise and it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Hey, Jim. Hey, Pete. Nice to see you. This is my new necklace. You like it? It's beauty, isn't it? Anyway, I keep seeing people popping up on my screen here. It's great. So it seems like every time there's an attack from one team, there's a counterattack, and nobody's really letting anyone get away until, let's say, yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. So yesterday, and we know what happened in the Giro d'Italia with that, right? We do know what happened there. That was a deciding point, and it happened on one of the final climbs, and the opposing teams that both really wanted to win the tour, they let him go, and guess what? They both ended up not doing well because of it. Not that they didn't do well. They got second and third instead of first and second. So, you know, you got to keep your eye on those breakaways. You got to keep an eye on those attacks, and you got to have a plan. And I think there's been a lot more planning going on this Tour de France than there was either in either the last Tour de France or the Giro d'Italia or even the Vuelta a España, the year that Sepp Kuss ended up riding away in a long break early. And all of a sudden got so much time that the team all of a sudden had to change their entire game plan and work for him to go on to continue to win the Vuelta a España. So, you know, these things can happen. I don't think we're going to see those surprises this year. We will see an occasional surprise. And let me see where he is. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Da, 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 da. We got it. We got it. Simon Yates. Yes, the infamous Yates brothers. Twin brothers, both racing professionally. That was the big surprise in the Giro this year because it wasn't him, it was his brother, right? It was his brother who was the solo breakaway that got away from, oh man, anyway, they didn't fix that part. I can't remember things still. Anyway, Simon Yates went off on an enormous breakaway. I mean, the breakaway was huge. There were tons of riders in it. And at one time, I think there were over 20 riders in the breakaway. And he was out there and he stayed with it. And he ended up winning stage 10 of the 2025 Tour de France. Well, what does that mean? Well, he was 10 minutes down on the Grand Tour, you know, overall leader. And he got all that time back by winning that stage and being that far out because they were that far out in front. So he got to put on the yellow jersey and got to take it off of our infamous friend, Mr. Tadej Pogačar, who has been wearing it off and on throughout. Let me do a quick shout out to Matthew Vanderpoel too, who has worn it a few times too. Matthew almost pulled off another crazy attempt at the solo breakaway and got swallowed up in the last few seconds of a couple of days ago in the tour. But you know, every once in a while you get lucky and you just never know what's going to happen. And yeah, Tadej Pogačar looks to be the strongest rider out there right now, but I have also not seen a general weakness in any way with the Visma team. They look really good, and Vingegaard looks good right now. He looks composed. He looks smart, as he always is. Tadej Pogačar tends to be a little bit more of an outrageous cyclist. I'll call it outrageous. That's a safe word. Not always making the best decisions in a race situation, but he is getting a lot better at it. That's for sure. definitely a lot better at it. So we got a race. We got a real race going on here. This is their first rest day. Is today, day after Bastille Day. So they went for 10 stages before they took a rest day. And then they will ride on into this weekend. There are mountains ahead of them. There's just all sorts of fun stuff coming up. And again, surprises all the time. Ben Healy from EF Education did another one of those like crazy breakaways, and no one saw it coming, and he ended up just commanding the jersey. So it's like there's just it's always going to change, and I think because of the now what I'm going to call predictability of the teams and their paying really close attention to being responsible to not let anything get too far away. I think we're going to continue to have an interesting race. We're getting ready to go into some very, very serious hills. I thought I had that on my screen, but I don't. But I'm just seeing, I'm going to pull up profile. 2025 TDF. Go. And, you know, maybe I can get a little bit more there, but stage profiles, yeah, right here. So they've got a lot of mountains ahead of them now. That's what's coming up next. So we shall see exactly what happens there. And it should be a very, very exciting race, I do believe. In the meantime, go over here. In the meantime, the UCI is doing weird things, and I've got a piece on that if I get a chance to, I'll talk about it a little bit later. But there was a piece in The Guardian, and it was let's see if it was in here. Tour de France's phony war gets close dose of reality as Pogacar versus Vingegaard hits the mountains. So that's what's coming up. That's the one that's coming up. That's not what I was really looking for. I'm looking for those stage profiles. So right now we are working on, we're deep in here. So I'm going to scroll down because we've gone all the way to stage 10, which is the 15th, 17th. Okay, so this is going to be the 16th. Is that where we're at? Yeah, tomorrow's stage 11. Oh boy. Yeah, it's definitely gonna have some rollies in it for sure. It's 142 kilometers. Lots of bumps at the end, so up and down. Nothing major as far as category climbs, nothing like there was in on Bastille Day, where there were some definitely some bigger climbs that were represented there. But then let's go on to the 17th, which will be this Thursday. And it starts out very, very flat in Auch, and it ends in Hautecam. And there is a major category one, another category two, and a beyond category finish climb on that day. That is that's a big one. That one is 151 kilometers long. It's going to be a long stage. It's going to be very, very difficult. And then they move on into a time trial phase, which will be on the 18th. And it is a, let's see, what do we got here? I can't read this. It's a short time trial. It's not a very long time trial. But there is a time trial, and it is mostly uphill. It is not a major steep uphill, but it is definitely, it goes from 1,000 meters up to 1,400 meters or 1,600 meters by the looks of things. So it will be a climb. They will be definitely climbing. Be really interesting for all you bike geeks out there who love to look at what everybody's riding on and try to figure out, you know, what kind of bike would be best for this. What kind of bike are you going to ride if it's got a mostly uphill climb on it? Would you want to ride a TT bike on that, or would you want to ride like a real road bike? Sorry, I did define a road bike as a real road bike. And I apologize to any of you who are in love with the triathlon bikes, but I said it, it's done. I have opinions, it happens. Write me, talk to me, curse at me. I don't care, doesn't matter. So that is, so that will be on the 18th. And then on the 19th, stage 14, 182.6 kilometers with beyond category climb as the first climb. And that is about halfway into the 182 kilometers. So yeah, so less than or a little, maybe a little over 100 kilometers in, right around 100 kilometers in, there's a beyond category climb, followed by a two, followed by a one, followed by a beyond category hill finish. So once again, another summit finish on the 19th. Ugly, very ugly, should be great, can't wait to see it. Let's go to the 20th, okay? And on the 20th, we have stage 15. And that will be just before the rest day. And again, we've got a category three, a couple of category threes, a category two. It's rolly. It's not like horribly mountainous, but it is 122 kilometers, I think. No, 169 kilometers on this one. So it's pretty big. Then they get a rest day, and then they get to go to Mount Ventoux. And Mount Ventoux, which is a famous, iconic climb in the Tour de France, that will be a mountaintop finish. Fun, fun, fun. Love this stuff. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities out there as far as, you know, who can do what in this particular race. The Montpellier to Mount Ventoux is 171.5 kilometers. It's got just an ugly, ugly finish. That should be fun. And then, of course, we've got some more bumpy roads ahead of us after that to finish off. They are not anywhere near done yet. This is definitely a very challenging course, and it could be anyone's race. I'm not gonna kid you on this. What we have is we have the UAE team, which is a very smart team. They also just lost Almeida, who is one of their best riders. And I think he crashed out, I think is what ended up happening. Anything can happen is what I'm trying to say here. They still have a very strong team of riders, as does Visma. And it's, I'm telling you, this race is wide open. It is wide open. It could be anyone's race. I am not convinced that we have seen the most exciting parts of the Tour de France yet this year. So great time to be a bicycle racing fan. Especially great time to be so laid up that you can't get out of the house, so you have to be forced to watch it every day. Yay, that's me. And, you know, that things will get better. Next week, I'll be back doing the things that I do, I think, but we have to see. I got to go through the whole physical therapy thing and see where I'm going to end up. But if you see me putting my, if you're watching my video as I'm broadcasting here right now, you'll see me putting my hands up behind my back of my head, because I have to relieve the muscle tightness in my lats, because they get pretty inflamed from doing this. So my the good news is I am, 47 minutes into this broadcast already, which is really good, because that means that I get to go lay down on top of an ice bag afterwards. Hey, back to Ron's tip of the week. Didn't mention that. Ice, baby. Let's hear it for ice. I got to tell you, if you've got inflammation of any kind, as difficult as it can be to put a fresh ice bag right out of the freezer onto that inflammation, as difficult as it is to adjust and let yourself calm down and allow the ice to actually freeze things up real good, boy, does ice work good. Unbelievable. So if you're dealing with any kind of inflammation, and hey, you're a bike rider, you're listening to Bicycle Talk, maybe you have a little bit of a tricky knee, maybe you got a little bit of a, you know, tricky shoulder or something, don't be afraid of the ice bag. I got to tell you, the ice has been a game changer for me. I don't know if I could have gotten through this without ice. I am down to very little I'll call it chemical dependency, because you know, I think the only thing I'm really using anymore is Tylenol for pain management. And oh, sorry, take that back. I'm also using a muscle relaxer because my muscles get so tight that that's when it starts to hurt. But anyway, ice, baby. Yeah, get the ice bag out. Think about that the next time you come back from a bike ride and go, you know, my knee hurts a little bit. Well, put an ice bag on it. Good idea. Anyway, I'm sure there are other tips out there by other professionals that are far more advanced than I am about this sort of thing. I'm just giving you the practical experience that I'm dealing with. And it will be that I will say that I will never, ever want to go through this again. And I'm really excited to see that this might turn into probably one of the more beneficial things I've done for my body in a number of years, even though the pain was outrageous. I'm expecting to come back stronger than ever. So still 39, still 31 years worth of experience, not going any further than that. That's it. You can't keep an active bicyclist, a cyclist off of his bike. You just can't do it. So we got Tour de France coming up for next week too. We got more racing ahead of us. Just tons of great racing. It's been wonderful. I can't tell you just how much fun it's been to watch all this. And it's going to be, like I said, there's going to be some interesting developments. Remco Evenepoel, he's indicating what he lacks to fight with Pogacar and Vingegaard. And so he's having some trouble with that. Ben Healy was a big surprise. He popped out of nowhere. Carlos Rodriguez is riding well. But the guy who seems to look the most comfortable in the entire peloton right now really does appear to be Tadej Pogacar. And he would like another title. I know it sometimes it gets a little boring when it's the same guy almost every time, but you know, it can happen. Anything can happen. But it's you know, he is a very, very good cyclist. Is he the greatest cyclist of all times? No. Nope, not that opinion. That opinion remains with Mr. Eddie Merckx. Eddie Merckx is the myth, the legend, the, you know, everything you want to know about anybody who ever was anything in cycling. It's Eddie Merckx. Eddie Merckx still owns most of the classics. He still owns 5 of the Tour de France wins. He still owns so many different things. So Eddie was referred to back in his years as the cannibal because of the way he would just eat up his competition. And Eddie still gets my vote. So, but Tadej is doing a darn good job of chasing that down. He's definitely doing it. And when you take a look at it and you take a look at the technology and all the changes that have happened over the years, it's like, you know, it's a different world they're racing in right now. I'm going to talk maybe a little more about that technology in next week's episode, if I remember to make my notes here and write it down, because I would like to talk a little bit about the gearing that's going on right now in the Tour de France and in all these big stage races. I'll give you the teaser at the moment, and the teaser is that a lot of the big riders, especially big climbers, have switched over to 165mm crank arms, and as of rest day, which is today, the day after Bastille Day, the Tour de France was on record to ride the fastest Tour de France ever in the history of the Tour de France up to yesterday. So anything can happen. Things go wrong, things go good, things go bad, anything can happen. But right now they are on record-breaking time right now for this year's 2025 Tour de France. So we shall see. We'll just have to see what happens. That's all. And hopefully it'll be exciting. And I just can't wait. So this is interesting. And I'll come back to this next week because I am running out of time here. But there in Toronto, there was a bike lane that gets more rush hour traffic than a car lane. Hey, what do you know about that, huh? That's not Copenhagen. That's not Amsterdam. That's Toronto. Okay? So here we go. Ontario leadership claim no one bikes on their city's bikes pass, but the data shows otherwise. They get more cyclists on their bike paths than they do cars on their streets. Big shout out to the Canadians. And I think I have to go back a little bit on this because this came out on July 1st, and I have to give them a belated happy Canada Day. And here we go. It's like the world can change if you just get active. That's the key. You gotta just stay active. And you know, bikes and motor vehicles, they are showing a chart here. Between 7 and 8 a.m., 259 bikes versus 774 cars. So obviously the cars won that round. Between 8 and 9 a.m., 593 bikes versus 822 cars. Still heavy in the cars. Between 9 and 10, 437 on the bikes, 830 on the cars. 4 to 5 p.m., we start seeing the change over here. 643 are on the, let's see here, it looks like 643 on the bikes and 849 on the cars. But then between 5 and 6 p.m., commuting time, coming home time, closing time, as the bars like to say, 930 versus 832 cars. And at 6 to 7 p.m., 919 bikes versus 909 cars. Yep, we're winning the war. There it is. So big, big shout out to our Canadian friends. And yes, we really do still love you in Canada. We really do. It's not us. Okay, it's not our fault if you're looking at what the heck is wrong with you Americans. You know, I'm a bike guy. I'm not going to be that guy. You don't have to worry about that. So anyway, we love you, Canada. We love what you're doing for cycling. We love your commitment to cycling and to bicycle lanes and everything that you do. So there's my shout out to Canada. And now I have to move on because here we go. We are running out of time. So Tour de France is definitely the highlight. All right. It's going to be the highlight for another week and a half. So we will definitely have more to talk about as far as that goes. There are, and I will go back to some of the pro cyclist gear restrictions are set to be tested in 2025 as the UCI confirms the test event. So we are going to make sure that that gets highlighted the next time on the next show. It all promises to be real good. So we shall see. And let me highlight that so I don't forget. So we got events coming up Sunday, September 21st, the 9th annual Southbridge Credit Union Tour of Opicum Bike Ride for Land Conservation, joining the Opicum Land Trust on Sunday, September 21st for a scenic spectacular bike ride through several of our conservation projects in Brimfield, Sturbridge, Munson, and around that area. So that's a really fun thing. The Quiet Corner Bike Tour, Sunday, July 27th. That's right around the corner, folks. Presented by our local club, the Thread City Cyclers. And it is in Chaplin, Connecticut. You'll find it on Bike Reg. You will also find it on threadcitycyclers.com. And hashtag quiet-corner-bike-tour. So check that out because we've got some great roads up here for you guys to ride on. I hope to be around that weekend. If not, then I won't see you. But if I am, I will be hopefully helping out if I am able to do that. So anyway, this is it. Our final clip from our friends at the League of American Bicyclists. Bicycling is freedom. Life is better for everyone when more people ride bikes. The League is making biking an easier and safer option for more people because when more people bike, people are happier, healthier, and our communities are safer and friendlier, and our planet is greener.
I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride your bike, and do your part. And hey, take the Pedal and Run Challenge. Consider parking your car for one day of the week and just use your bike instead. You just might surprise yourself. Remember, whether you're riding a bike or driving a car, please be safe and be kind. And I hope to see you sometime soon out on the roads. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, lovely Dr. Fran Storch. Maybe next week, we'll see. You can feel free to comment right here at Facebook Live, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And this is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. Thank you so much for listening. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Get on your bikes and ride!